Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of the India Independent Films Podcast, where we talk about films and film writing. I am Pankaj. I write on my blog, Dichotomy of Irony. I have with me Rahul Desai, critic for The Film Companion and writer for many other publications. We usually host a podcast every 3-4 weeks, and today we have another set of few topics where we'll talk about a film from the 90s. We've done that one episode before, but I thought it would be a good idea to, you know, just continue that idea and just see what our memories of the films from the 90s was. But before I go there, Rahul, the standard question: how have the last few weeks been, and anything memorable from your side?
Thank you for asking that again, because good time to take stock. Last few weeks have been busy as usual, but a few films I really enjoyed, a couple of Hindi films. I think Madgaon Express, I really liked. It was like a nice wholehearted comedy after a long time. And it was Kunal Khemu's directorial debut. I think it's still running in theaters here, which is a surprise, bit of a sleeper hit. Because Crew released a week later, so that was like the female buddy comedy, and Madgaon was the male buddy. So it was an interesting few weeks in that sense, a genre we had long forgotten. For those who haven't watched the film, I'd really encourage them to do so if they are around, if it's playing in theaters around them. And other than that, I think I really enjoyed Imtiaz Ali's new film, Chamkela, Amar Singh Chamkela. I noticed that even you watched it, and I saw your tweet. I noticed that even you liked it. I'm looking forward to what you write about it, because there were so many things in that film that was so interesting. And like, you know, apart from visual breakdown, there's so much in the narrative, so much to take. It reminded me of the Imtiaz Ali that we saw like more than a decade ago, with all the films he made before Jab Harry Met Sejal, the Tamashas and the Rockstars and Love Articles. It was like a nice little rewind to that, because he made, and also it was a biopic, which I have to mention is, as you even know, it's not our favorite genre, but I think he was very inventive with it.
Right. I mean, I'm typically very late in watching films, but I watched this and I was actually surprised by how well it is done as a biopic. It yeah. didn't feel like a biopic to me, because it felt like a, you know, like, as I think you wrote in your review, I also agree. It just kept reminding me it's like a Punjabi rock star, sort of a way. But the way he's tried to like not tell a story like a biopic, you know, we typically see person is born, this happened, but he, you know, tried to shift the timelines, and I actually enjoyed those whole animations and those sort of things. The lyrics was a bit distracting, because I was reading both English and Hindi. It just got me like, I'm rewatching it today, and I'm going to write it later. But I think, you know, we all agree that he's back. He is sort of that same flavor of the tamasha and that rock star. He has that. And I couldn't find any scene that, you know, was bad or... Yeah. Like, that just made me uncomfortable. It's almost like great, but okay.
I mean, it amazes me with the like the sort of I don't think anyone has filler shots the way he does. Like the even the montages, like which he's so good at, right? Like I think Aarti Bajaj is one of the best editors in the industry for the longest time, and I think she's been like technically almost co-director of Imtiaz's films the way she puts it together. And that's why the biopic also is so interesting. It wasn't about non-linearity or linearity. I think it was just such a fictional way to tell a real story. And I really enjoyed that. And I'm glad that even I watched it twice, honestly, because I watched it once in the Mami screening year. They had it. It was on the big screen. So we didn't have subtitles there, but we had obviously the thing you're talking about, the song lyrics flashing on screen. But the second time I watched it on Netflix, on my TV, and... those parts were a little distracting, but overall I think I forgot that, because I was just very happy to see a film that was not shying away from you know, a lot of things, including, you know, a particular aesthetic, this multimedia style that he made so popular back in maybe a decade ago, when people maybe weren't ready for it so much. I think people are ready for it now.
Right. So I was reading Nandini Ramnath's review. She made this point that, you know, Imtiaz Ali has actually made that she, which was again sort of like, you know, sexual freedom, and then that with that in that another show with that with I forgot his name, the one Khatana Bhai who played Kumud Mishra, he made this sex related show. And now again, he's made this thing, which is kind of interesting. But I haven't seen She because of the terrible reviews.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay. I think we so much writing will come out of Chamkila in the next few weeks. So I'm actually looking forward to reading all of them. But okay, now let's start our questions for today. So first, let me ask you about a very interesting actor, Anil Kapoor. You know, what are firstly your memories of Mr. India?
Mr. India, definitely one of the, probably one of my first early memories of watching Hindi films. I think I watched it on the TV. Obviously, I was too young when it was in theaters. And for me, it was technically my first Bollywood children's film per se, you know, because I don't think we had many of them there, you know, like because we always used to turn to Hollywood to watch your Home Alones and your various fantasy films. And I think from Bollywood, for me, as far as I remember, I think it was the first film I felt like was age appropriate for me to watch, and I really enjoyed it, because who doesn't, like, as a child, who doesn't like watching a film technically which is a superhero film and the superpower is going invisible. So I really enjoyed it, and I was very deeply influenced by it, I think, in my first like 10 years of my life, because I used to keep, once Shah Rukh and Aamir and Salman and all took over, I used to keep always going back to Mr. India whenever I felt like watching a film that was a little more meant for me. And I always changed my, as a kid, it changed my attitude towards glasses also. Like, I always thought whenever we'd wear like red glasses or something, you know, you'd not be able to see the other person. So I used to love the innocence of all that, and I think it was truly a unique film, not just for its time. I think people still remember it as that kind of film. I wish we had more films like that now.
Yeah. Has Anil Kapoor aged better than, let's say, Shah Rukh or Amitabh Bachchan?
I mean, in many ways. Like, I think, like, obviously, physically is one thing. We know a lot about he's older than Shah Rukh and Salman generation, and he still looks like he's maybe in his late 40s, which is incredible. He's done a great job there. He's ageless, and I find him such an interesting way his career has aged, right? Because he was always a very different kind of hero in the 80s and 90s, sort of antidote to the because he was the only, probably one of the only ones with a mustache I remember who was a Bollywood hero when I started watching Hindi films, because I don't think it was very, it was the norm then, and I don't think it became the norm later either. So I always remember him as that guy who used to, I remember watching him in films like Parinda and all the films he did with Jackie Shroff. And I never looked at him as a conventional Bollywood hero till the latter parts of his career. I found it very interesting, because in the 2000s, he started doing comedies. He was really good at that. In the kind of roles he's doing now, I think there's no one better than him. And I think Sanjay Kapoor has taken a leaf from his book. You can't tell both from each other anymore in the kind of roles they choose also. And I think in terms of his career, he's the only one who's doing roles that are basically his age. You know, he's always playing fathers or older characters in films now, who are also, he ties it very well into his, into his real world image of always looking younger than he is. I loved his role in Jug Jug Jiyo, for example. I love in Dil Dhadakne Do. All these characters that he plays, I think he very much understands the kind of stage he is in his career, and I think he chooses roles accordingly. And that's not to say I've never enjoyed him playing a hero or comedian. I mean, I'd never forget Welcome and a lot of the films. I think is a guilty pleasure we grew up on. We call it comedy classics now. But I'm really enjoying this phase of his career right now. Whenever he comes on screen, I can't take my eyes off it.
Right. What are your recent favorite performances? Yes, Jug Jug Jiyo. Anything else come to your mind?
I think you like. I think it all started back again with Dil Dhadakne Do. If I at least this stage of his career, and I think he's been doing very, very similar roles in that sense. And I really enjoyed Jug Jug Jiyo because it understood Anil Kapoor better than I think a lot of the other recent films. Like, he's been in throwaway roles in like Animal and Fighter and all, and I really haven't loved those films, so I can't really comment on how effective Anil Kapoor was, because he's just like, those are just blockbusters that he wants to have a presence in. But the films that really highlight his image, his performance, I think those films, I think the last one was Jug Jug Jiyo, and I quite liked him in Thar also. And AK versus AK, I think that's a good phase of his career in terms of the kind of films he's doing and the meta sort of roles he's doing. And he's also an interesting producer, you know. So it's a very, I like that he's created his own space in an industry that, you know, either looks at you as a grandfather or an aging action hero and nothing in between. Because even Shah Rukh isn't playing like father of like, you know, grown-up adults or almost grandfathers in a sense, or like people with Peter Pan syndrome who always think they're younger than are. And I think Anil Kapoor is doing a very interesting thing. So yeah, I quite enjoyed him in these films that I mentioned.
No Entry or Welcome?
Welcome. No doubt about. Those Anis Bazmi films, like, we still watch from time to time, and just like, I still find them incredibly funny, and Welcome as well. And I love the whole cast in Welcome. And Anil Kapoor was, he's just so good at weaponizing that old school Bollywood image that him and Jackie Shroff have, that they are these like slight fossils in an industry that keeps modernizing itself. And they still talk in that Kapoori language that they were famous for in the late 80s and 90s. And I think they have a great sense of humor there. And I think he was so funny in Welcome, along with all the rest of the cast.
Did Welcome back? Did you like?
Yeah, I didn't even like remember it. That. I remember reviewing it, but I did not like that film. That was typical. It was a typical sort of cash grabbing franchise sequel, and I don't remember much of it, which says a lot actually.
Yeah, I think they're coming with No Entry 2 maybe. Okay. how was Ek Ladki Ko Dekha To Aisa Laga?
I watched it much later. I didn't watch it when it released. I think I was traveling then. So I didn't review it because Film Companion, so we don't review. It was made by Vidu's sister. It had a very mixed response to it. I found it obviously flawed in many ways, but I thought it was a very interesting screenplay. I thought it was a very interesting story idea. And I thought, like, Anil Kapoor playing that character there also goes to show that I find it very interesting that he's always been backing a lot of progressive films socially, if not politically. And because one of his daughters is a big producer now, and he's had a very interesting career as, you know, technically, quote unquote, the patriarch of his own household. So I think that all of that came together in his role in Ek Ladki Ko Dekha To Aisa Laga. And I think it was a fairly brave performance in that.
Yeah, I think Riya Kapoor, she's a great producer and she's doing interesting things, films. So Anil Kapoor's name also gets attached to what she does. Okay, now let's talk about some of his 90s films. You mentioned one of your favorites, Deewana Mastana. How do you look at that film?
I mean, for me, it was all about that chemistry between Govinda and Anil Kapoor. We knew it was like a ripoff of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, and I loved the original as well with Michael Caine and Steve Martin, I think. And when I watched Deewana Mastana, I remember it was again in Ahmedabad in the drive-in, where we used to go almost every weekend to watch a big film. I think it was releasing with another Akshay Kumar film at the same time. So we chose this one, and I didn't have any hopes from it. And I really enjoyed Anil Kapoor. And he was also in this very strange phase of a career, right? Like, I think he had entered his 40s by then. or early 40s or something, and he wasn't really playing hero roles. He never was a romantic hero in that sense. He was always choosing slightly edgier films, crime dramas, playing brothers. Here, it was one of the first times I'd seen him playing in an all-out comedy, because he was always doing little more serious films before that. My enduring haunting memory of him was in 1942 Love Story, which was a film that if you watch young enough, it'll never leave your head. And to see him like really excel as this comedian was really nice, because even though he had done Judai before that, I don't think it was an all-out comedy. It was there was a lot of drama, social drama in that, and it was Sridevi's film technically. So Deewana Mastana was very nice, and it was a good start of his phase with, I think, David Dhawan, and a lot of directors started looking at him as someone more than that actor he was in the late 80s and 90s, the one who was always doing an alternate to the Khans and the Kapoor. So I think he was, because after that we saw a lot of his better roles in his early 40s, in his 40s, like Pukar, and Taal was one of my favorite performances of Anil Kapoor. Like, I remember watching it, and as soon as I watched it, I was like, this film belongs to him. I just wanted to watch it again and again for that swag, for that, for the kind of, you know, extravagance and charisma he brought to that role of a music producer, which we hadn't seen before. Now it's very common in roles in Hindi films, but back then we didn't see something like that.
Mm-hmm. Another 90s film, BB Number One. How was that film?
I think that was a very good, I really enjoyed it, obviously. And I was like, again, it was a multi-star. It wasn't just Anil Kapoor. I thought the themes were very similar to Jug Jug Giyo in a sense, because, you know, Salman Khan was playing a slightly philandering husband, and they made comedy out of it. And I kind of enjoyed that entire phase where sort of David Dhawan were using all the A-list actors in different ways. And even though it technically wasn't Anil Kapoor's film per se, I thought he was really funny in it. You know, he was, and you could see his versatility playing a Sardar and not being punched down on, playing a technically the hero's best friend, also a simpleton, but also like the moral core of the protagonist. It wasn't his film, but he always stood out in that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Any other 90s performances that you remember?
90s, as I said, 1942 Love Story will always stay with me. Roop Ki Rani Choro Ka Raja was one of my favorite films as a child. I know it was a mega flop, and you know, its legacy was a troubled production, big budget, and it flopped, and you know, Bonnie Kapoor never really came back. But I really enjoyed that film. Like, I really enjoyed, you know, Anupam Kher sort of villain in that, the soundtrack in that, that the villain ka theme that he has in that, that always stayed with me. It was such a large scale, like they went all out. They committed to the scale of the film. I thought Satish Kaushik was always a very fascinating masala director, and I think he did very well with that film. And I'm sad that it had flopped then, but I didn't really care as a kid. I watched it a bunch of times, and I really enjoyed Anil Kapoor in that role, almost like a spy, almost like that globe-trotting character that people like Saif Ali Khan and a lot of action heroes later started playing. For me, that was one of my early favorites of Anil Kapoor, as was Lamhe, because, you know, it was the first time I saw him without a mustache in a double role. And for me, that was my takeaway, no matter how mature it is. And I'm actually kind of amazed I watched all these films when I was 8 or 9 years old, or 6 or 7 years old, because I don't know what the themes were like to me in my head then, but I'm glad I kind of watched Anil Kapoor's filmography just as much as Shah Rukh's or Salman's or Amir's, because it gave me a very full understanding of Bollywood, of Hindi cinema in the 90s, and the kind of films that were doing well and also like appealing, were very appealing to audiences then.
Right. And how was Judai?
Judai was, it was a favorite amongst the colony in which I lived. I remember when I grew up in Ahmedabad, I think every other week it used to come on our cable, and we used to always watch it the previous night and then joke about it the next morning when we were playing cricket or sort of catching up while going to school in our vans and in our rickshaws. So I always thought, because there were such iconic characters like Paresh Rawal's character in that, and it was just such a unbelievable premise that, you know, your wife selling a husband for money and then also getting a redemption arc after that. And we just found it funny because, you know, it had like two women and a man, and we lived in a highly patriarchal, and we still do, and we always found it funny that, you know, that Anil Kapoor would play a role of this husband who's torn between two women and like a rich. And it was very interesting because Urmila had played, she actually played a morally strong character in this, even though her character technically was that of a wealthy woman who'd normally become a sociopath or a spoiled brat who wanted anything, who would get everything she wanted. And even then, the film, I like that the film gave her also, like, didn't villainize her or didn't make her a, if anything, she came out the better of the two women in the film. So, yeah, but we obviously only remember the comedy parts of it.
Yeah, you know, it feels so ridiculous, the premise. Yeah. But I think the, as you said, the emotional component of it still works very well. I watched it and I could still see, you know, of course, it doesn't hold up some of the parts, but the emotional parts of it, the love story between Urmila and Anil Kapoor, how it gradually builds up and Sridevi starts regretting, it's all very nicely done. At least it's still one of my favorite films of Sridevi.
Yeah, same here, of the 90s, and Sridevi especially, because she led that film, and you didn't see a lot of actresses do that back then.
Okay, coming back to Shekhar Kapoor, how was Masoom?
Oh, Masoom, really, like, it destroyed me as a child when I watched it. Like, I didn't know that it was the same director behind Masoom and Mr. India, and it was took me a while to realize that. But it was just very difficult to. I don't think I revisited it after that. Like, when I watched it early in the 90s, even though Masoom released before that, I don't think I went back to it because of how much it made me cry. I think I went on a downer for a couple of days. My parents realized that also. It was really hard to watch as a child because of the role of the child in that film also. And I think, yeah, if I wonder what will happen if I watch it again. I really don't know how it's aged. But I'm glad that, you know, it was the sort of classic that that basically moved me so much that it really affected. It really influenced also my relationship with this alternative Hindi cinema, because we were only watching like a lot of very enjoyable films in the 90s. And then something like Masoom would come on cable, and I'd absolutely, you know, I'd get almost scared of the emotions it would elicit in me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Shabana Azmi's, I mean, even Jugal Hansraj is so good. He's like that innocence, and he just feels so moved. Like, how can anybody not get moved by that, you know, boy? It's very deeply affecting. And Elizabeth, have you seen Elizabeth?
I have seen Elizabeth, yeah. It became a big deal because, you know, one of the first instances of Indian directors making a large-scale Hollywood films, also nominated for Oscars in technical categories. And I've always been a big Cate Blanchett fan, but I wasn't very taken by the film itself. You know, that's when you could realize that Shekhar Kapoor is not going to make Indian films per se after that. He's gone on a world stage, and that's what he's interested in. And he's not... Like, he just made a film, a rom-com recently, What's Love Got to Do With It, but it was written by Jemima Khan. So I think it was very much her film. It didn't feel like Shekhar Kapoor had made it, even though it was an enjoyable film. So I don't think, I think Shekhar Kapoor, as Vishal Bhadwaj very famously put it some years ago, that he likes talking about making films. He doesn't make films anymore. So I think Shekhar Kapoor's become that guy. And I hope like a lot of modern directors learn from that and don't go down that way, because he used to be, he was probably one of our best filmmakers to come out of India, and then Meera Nair came after that and went big on the world stage, but at least they are doing things. Shekhar Kapoor, I don't know, like it's just been disappointing to see after what he did in India.
Yeah, I mean, there was also this talk of Pani, that biggest film he'll make. Pani, it never materialized. I don't know what happened to that film.
At this point, I'm convinced that Pani didn't exist only, and Shekhar was just making it up. Like, I have no idea.
Another offbeat film, Hollywood Bollywood. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. I remember that very well. It was one of the first films I watched in the theater in Bombay when I got into, when I started Xavier's College here. And I was just in the, like, very early on, I was making friends. I was struggling to make friends, and I made a few friends. And we used to go every other day, bunk classes, and go to watch whatever is going on in the theater. And Bollywood, Hollywood was one of them. Very enjoyable musical, I must say. And I haven't watched it after that, but I remember having a ball while watching it then, because there's some very, from what I remember at least, there were some very memorable characters in that. And I didn't expect it to be as enjoyable as it was. And I didn't know it was made by like Deepa Mehta for the longest time.
How is Karishma Kapoor as an actor?
I like that you call her Karishma Kapoor.
I recently, I mean, you know, I'm trying to correct because I always call her Karishma. I recently found out her name is Karishma. So
I mean, I just heard Kareena call her Karishma. So I was like, if her own sister is starting to call her Karishma, then I'm just going to keep calling her Karishma Kapoor, because that's the actress we grew up watching in the 90s. And I've had a very interesting sort of relationship with her as an actress, like my perception of her. In the 90s, I never really thought much of her till I watched something like Raja Hindustani. I wasn't really a big fan of her in Dil To Pagal Hai also, though I know she won a lot of plaudits for that, won National Award, got praised a lot for that film, and it was a very interestingly written role. But I always thought that the acting was very visible when she did it, and I thought Kareena was far more effortless. There's always one sibling like that. Like, to make, like, cricketing equivalence, it was like watching Steve Waugh and Mark Waugh. You know, like, Karishma was more of a Steve Waugh, where she, you could sense her hard work and grit the way she came up in the 90s. She wasn't that typical Nepo baby who had it easy because she was the daughter in one of the biggest legacy families in the film industry. She actually made a lot of, like, she actually struggled a lot, made a lot of mistakes, came up the hard way, became talented along the way. So it took me a while to warm up to her. And then I really started liking the kind of choices she was making. And she became a very good example of what Deepika did later in her, like, later on when she came onto the scene. I think Karishma did early. Like, she wasn't great the moment she hit the ground running. It took her a decade or so to start doing these author-backed roles and really shining in them.
That was sort of my next question. You know, how does she stand up to Kareena? Of course, there are always comparisons, but I think Kareena is just on her own. She's a superstar, and she's still like, started in 2001 and 2024. Like, there's no other actor who's probably, like, in terms of female actors, who's still at the top of the game. So Kareena is now in a different league altogether, but Karishma is interesting to hear. How was Murder Mubarak? I did read the reviews, but just...
I mean, I was in one of the rare times I was in the minority where I actually didn't mind the film. I thought it was enjoyable in parts and, like, very trying too hard in other parts. It wasn't, like, overall very memorable, but I quite enjoyed the cast and the setting. And I thought, yeah, Karishma didn't have much of a role, but I thought she was interesting because she was playing a Bollywood diva in that, so it was very meta. But overall, it had, like, I think it was a bit of a letdown eventually, but it was certainly more watchable than the kind of shows and films he's been making since Finding Fanny. So it was definitely an improvement from that. But again, Karishma hasn't figured out the kind of roles right now as, say, Kareena just, as we said, you know, she brings so much charisma, which is ironic, to every role she does. And even Jaane Ja last year was such a big example of that. It was only Kareena could have done it that way. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but it was a very different way of performing that role. Looking forward to Buckingham Murders whenever that comes out. But it's very interesting because I don't think Karishma was, that gifted an actress. And because of that, I think she'll, I don't know how prolific she is at this stage of her career, if she she's getting the kind of role she wants, but I don't think she's making the kind of impact that her sister is.
Mm-hmm. Right. What are your favorite David Dhawan films?
David Dhawan films. This is a good question. Swarg is definitely probably one of my all-time favorite David Dhawan films. And ironically, it's not a comedy. It is a drama and it stars Govinda. And David Dhawan obviously did make serious films also. And it was one of the first films of David Dhawan I watched when I didn't know who he was. And I really enjoyed that film. It deeply affected me. It was, of course, it was inspired by an older film, Meherban, if I'm not mistaken. But Swarg itself, with Govinda playing this rags to riches, like from servant to superstar, and Rajesh Khanna, who was still acting in the early 90s, I really enjoyed that film, even though it wasn't a comedy. It was a very typical Bombay film. And it gave me a very, I keep watching it even now from time to time because I have some favorite scenes in that. I love Satish Kaushik's character and Govinda's rise to stardom in that. And I thought David Dhawan always made some very interesting dramatic films before he started making all the number ones and the comedies. And I think it, in the early 90s, he was one of the more influential dramatic directors along with a lot of the others like Subhash Ghai.
Do you remember Aankhe?
I do remember Aankhe, of course. Like, it was, I thought Govinda and Chunky Pandey was a great duo. Like, I haven't watched it in a long time, but I really liked it. And I think I watched it a bunch of times in the 90s. And this was, I think, on the cusp of David Dhawan starting to make comedies. And you could see that in Aankhe, right? Like, because he started casting Govinda in these slightly more fluid roles, where he's not just a dramatic actor, like he was in Swarg, or like he was in, even Shola or Sabnam. So I think this was that transformation of David Dhawan into this very iconic comic director.
Right. Any of the number one films, do you remember any of your favorites?
I remember most of them. I think my favorite was Hero Number One. I think that was the one with which was inspired by Bavarchi or whatever. I think that was the one where he pretends to be, a servant in the family of his girlfriend. I really enjoyed that because I found it. I especially found the relationship between father and son very moving in that, like Kader Khan and Govinda. And there were a couple of scenes where Kader Khan was missing Govinda, so he'd go and dressed as a postman or a chowkidar or something to meet his son so that they could at least celebrate his birthday together. I found it very moving as a child, and I probably still will. And I just enjoyed that template so much. And I thought Govinda had such effortless comic time. I thought he brought something so different to the board. And when he could turn dramatic, no one else could do it like him because he just switched in 1 second. And I think a lot of our modern heroes like Ranveer Singh and the others have modeled a lot of their timing on Govinda without quite realizing it. And I think Hero Number One was my favorite of the number ones.
Mm-hmm. And of course, when Deewana Mastana, we just spoke about that. Bade Mia Chote Mia. The new one.
It's a good time to talk about because the new one was absolutely unwatchable. The new one had nothing to do with the old one except that, the same production house. But Bade Mia Chote Mia was very enjoyable. Like, I wasn't expecting to see Amitabh at that stage of his career, struggling to not be the hero, not be the sort of the Maupate, sort of before his Maupate phase, before his Kaun Banega Crorepati phase, really sort of letting it loose with Govinda. And I was amazed that Govinda could have chemistry with anyone. Because that was when, and you make an entire film around that. It was such a big draw then to have Govinda and Amitabh in the same film. And Amitabh was struggling, was having a lot of flops in at least the dramatic films that he was doing. And I was very glad he did Bade Mia Chote Mia because he was genuinely funny in that film too. And that entire age difference was written into the title and in the film. So, it's crazy now that I'm seeing how prolific David Dhawan was. He was making 2 films on an average a year, which no director, which is unheard of today. And he kept making them like till the late 2000s basically. Even though he wasn't as effective in the 2000s, I really enjoyed Kyunki Main Jhoot Nahi Bolta also. Like, because even though Liar Liar, I loved Jim Carrey in that, but I thought Govinda brought such great flavor to that role. I remember laughing very hard with my father when we were watching it in a theater, because he was just so funny in that. And I saw a lot of that comic timing in Madgaon Express when I watched it this time, because there were some very good performances, and I thought Govinda was just outstanding in that film.
That's interesting. Any other your favorite Govinda films? He's done so many, you know, yeah. Starting like from 1980s to 90s.
Apart from the number ones, which obviously he was so famous for, I actually liked it when he used to like be a little more serious. As I said, you know, the ones in the early 90s when he was playing that that hero of, you know, the mass hero in a way, I really liked it. But apart from that, I'd say Kyunki Main Jhoot Nahi Bolta, I think I liked one or two films he did with Rani Mukherjee.
Had Kar Di Aapne.
I think it was Had Kar Di Aapne, and there was another one. Albela? No, I'm not sure.
Albela was with Ash.
Right. Yeah, but when he was playing this sort of a neither here nor there romantic hero, when, you know, like he was always, and it was not all out comedy like David Dhawan comedy, I quite enjoyed those roles also, because I thought he was very, reminded me of that kind of middle hero that we don't do anymore. Like he can go either way, and he can be the comic relief in a film, but he can also be technically the romantic hero. So even though Govinda never had the looks for it, or the, you know, that star, that superstar charisma that I think Shah Rukh had in that same phase, I think he was very sweet as that hero.
Haseena Maan Jayegi type.
Haseena Maan Jayegi also. And he always, and there were such fascinating characters around him. You'd always remember the side characters, the ones that, say, either Satish Kaushik would do, or what's that late, what's his name? The guy who played Pappu. No, not Pappu Peja. The, Akram Khan? No, the one of the side heroes. So there were always so many, the films were designed around Govinda so well that you could always appreciate more than just his performance. So I really, I don't think I ever found Govinda like bad. I found a lot of films he did not really good. I liked when he tried to make a comeback with, you know, in these Wire films. I don't know if it was Kill Dil. I think it was Kill Dil. And then he was also in the Saif Ali Khan film.
Happy ending.
These were these cameos, and I was really looking forward to them because I hadn't seen Govinda for a long time, and it was just nice seeing him on screen again. And I don't know when I last saw him, but I really wish that he continued that part of his career, because a lot of his era, the comedians from his era like Johnny Lever, like others, are are still sort of doing work, and hopefully he gets to do something more that gives him more gravity now.
How it was Hum?
Oh yeah, Hum. I forgot that film entirely. Hum was, of course, for a lot of us, it was a marriage of two film industries, two cultures. Not a lot of us had seen Amitabh Bachchan and Rajnikanth in the same film. So they were always scene stealers in that. But I always thought, even when I watched Hum back then, I always thought it could have been a better film. I don't think it did justice to the cast it had. And even though Govinda was technically the third wheel in that film, I did enjoy the casting. I was always very happy to see Kader Khan and Anupam Kher in the same film. I don't think I was a big fan of Hum, say, as much as I was of something like Agnipath, which I think was made by the same director, Mukul Anand.
Yeah, got it. Any of the Bajatia films that you actually liked?
Yeah, I was never a big fan of what Bajatia or the Rajshree movies that became such massive super hits, because I always looked at it as sort of competition to what Shah Rukh was doing or to what Amir was doing. But, you know, I used to live in a in a society where there are a lot of Marwadi families there, along with the Gujarati families and Catholic families. So they used to go, like almost every other day, they used to like go on a picnic to watch this film in the drive-in. And it was then I realized, you know, how family films tend to like influence certain kind of cross sections of society, certain kind of cultures. It was big amongst the Marwadi community in Gujarat. And that's how even I started, you know, once or twice I went to watch it with them. Even though I didn't enjoy it as much, I understand the hype behind it. I never really liked the kind of film Suraj Bajatia made. It's very like stubbornly traditional, stubbornly like vegetarian in a sense. But probably the closest I came to liking his film was Hum Aapke Kaun, which everyone else liked. I don't like anything he made after that. And I don't think, I don't think I've liked anything since.
A lot of people like Viva.
Lot of people are fans of Viva. I respect that, but I'm going to keep quiet about that because that film didn't work for me at all, and I wasn't a big fan. Even though I liked the pairing, Shahid and Amrita looked like, I mean, they were still looked so young and fresh, and I think both of them also made their debut together in Ishq Vishk, I'm not sure. But yeah, it was nice to see that the pairing, and I see a lot of the generation just before me swearing by that film. But I haven't seen it since I watched it the first time.
I think some of the people I know like it because they saw it in childhood. So if they watch it now, maybe it doesn't hold up. But, you know, again, when we are kids, we tend to have certain memories with those. So I do see Viva coming from that place, but not sure about others. Okay. Any of your Khiladis, the Akshay Kumar Khiladis film?
I think I mentioned this earlier also. I think I really enjoyed the first Khiladi, which was Abbas Masand's Khiladi. And you know, it was interesting. We had Abbas Mastan Film Festival here in Bombay, very select theatres. I think only the Cinepolis theatres and all. And they were playing Khiladi, Bazigar, and I think Main Khiladi Tu Anadi. And it was, for me, it was such a great throwback to my own childhood because I enjoyed all three films. Of course, I love Bazigar the most, so I went to watch that. And it was lovely because Abbas Mastan themselves had come for the screening. And it was really nice because nobody knew of it till they were sitting behind. And everyone was cheering when Shilpa Shetty was thrown off the terrace. So it was a very fascinating experience. Everyone my age, like I think late 30s, early 40s, who grew up on Abbas Mastan movies. So Khiladi was also one of the films playing. And I would have loved to rewatch that also in a theater. For me, that was my favorite Akshay Kumar Khiladi, even though technically it wasn't a Khiladi film because the rest of them were all action films. I think even Main Khiladi Tu Anadi, another Abbas Mastan, I think I really enjoyed Akshay Kumar and Saif Ali Khan in that film together. Again, even though that was inspired by another film. I really enjoyed that entire pairing of heroes that used to happen back then. Doesn't happen enough now, like the Khans, Salman and Shah Rukh once in a while, and you know, Akshay and Sunil Shetty, Akshay and Saif. We don't see enough of that now, obviously, because of inflated egos and whatnot. But yeah, that was a good phase.
So, you know, David Dhawan tried to remake both his films, Judwa and Kuli Number One. Both of them weren't good. Why do you think, what was the issue and why are they going back to these old films?
Yeah, that's interesting because, you know, I totally forgot about the new Judwa, and the new Kuli Number. It just, the certain comedies and certain like sort of films work because they're part of a particular era, because they're part of a particular wider culture and sense of humor prevailing against that culture. 90s was also not the way it was like two decades. We are far more self-aware. We are far more, we know what wokeness is. We know what can be offensive, what cannot. The world has changed a lot since then. So you can't continue making those films and then just upgrade the sort of actors and the look and the production design and have the same kind of humor in them. You know, it really feels like you're really trying to mine the nostalgia that we felt in the 90s. And I only remember Judwa, the new Judwa more than, and even though I always thought Varun Dhawan would be a great sort of Govinda, I remember enjoying the first Judwa a lot because of Salman Khan. I used to be a fan of Salman also for those couple of years. He was doing the David Dhawan movies. I just don't think that a lot of the remakes from those 90s and 80s will work anymore. And though I get it, because I feel like it's a lot of the directors trying to relive their sort of that status that they enjoyed in the 90s, they struggle to accept that they are probably not relevant anymore and that we only watch the older films. And yeah, and of course, my generation will go to watch it saying, oh, let's see what our David Dhawan has done with that film. But it can also backfire, which it did with Judwa, which it probably did with Cool Enough. So that's just, it's hard to watch also, because, you know, you're seeing a particular problem with a culture where seniors are not, like, senior directors, senior cricket players, senior anything, they are not willing to sort of cede the limelight or maybe adapt to the times they're in. So they keep, like, falling back on the past. And I think that's what happens when they remake these films.
How do you think of Sunil Shetty?
I was just rewatching Mehuna recently, which was, I don't know if I'm correct here, but it's probably the only Filmfare Award Sunil Shetty might have won. I think he won for Best Villain for that. But I actually, as I said, I like Sunil Shetty as part of a larger star cast in the 90s. The ones in, like, the multi-starers like Mohra and like a lot of the other ones where he wasn't the only actor, because he was a very limited actor, we knew that. So directors had to be really smart with him. And I think certain directors were. Like, I actually, I don't know which film, I actually enjoyed that comedy he did. Which one was that, where that Mere Do Do Baap joke is there?
Gopi Kishan, I think.
Gopi Kishan. Those were funny. Like, those were genuinely funny, sort of. I wouldn't say his performances were funny, because he was always really, technically, he was really mediocre in most films. But I think those films used him very smartly. And when he was part of, like, this sort of duo, he was either with Akshay Kumar or with anyone else or whoever he used to team up with, it was always good to see. And I was watching Mehuna recently and I thought, wow, he still can't act. But I think because the whole film was a spoof, I think it worked well in terms of, like, Zayed Khan's mediocrity and Sunil Shetty's mediocrity. So it was, I would never really say that he was one of my favorite sort of stars of the 90s, but it was always interesting to see that he was around all our favorite stars. And I don't really remember him being leading a film which I liked, apart from, say, Gopi Kishan, which was a double role. And I think double roles were in then. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was just going through his wiki page. He's actually won a Filmfare for Dhadkan.
Oh, wow. That was another film where he was part of Akshay Kumar and this thing. And that is that's become a cult classic of sorts, because I think a lot of the younger, as you talked about Viva, like, a lot of the younger people who are growing up and watching Viva thought it was the greatest romantic film of their time. I think Dhadkan also became a classic amongst a certain generation of viewers because of the music and because of the dialogue and because Sunil Shetty was playing the kind of character that we often see in films today. So, yeah, so that was also an interesting role.
Yeah, and I think he comes back with, Rich and all. It's become, like, a meme these days. I've also seen Instagram pages where people are, you know, dubbing his character from that film. It's crazy how, you know, content or art is changing with time. And, you know, he's also become this great influencer on LinkedIn. I was surprised. He's this very great following, and he's talking about business and this perspective, like a proper entrepreneur, VC sort of a big shot he's become.
He was always, that's something I knew about him even back then when we used to watch him on screen. I think he was always, like, bit of a businessman and entrepreneur. He used to invest in a lot of property in and around Bombay. And I remember, because whenever we used to visit Bombay in the 90s as tourists, or later when I moved in, a lot of taxi drivers or, like, anyone local used to point out things, that is Sunil Shetty's restaurant, or that is Sunil Shetty, he's invested there. And a couple of years ago, I went for, like, to Lonavala or something for a holy weekend, and, you know, his almost like his couple of mansions were just next to our bungalow where we were, and a lot of people used to sell, like, used to basically rent out their bungalows for these weekends, saying that, you know, it's right next to Sunil Shetty's villa. So yeah, he was always, and he had this restaurant, floating restaurant, I think in Bombay also, or in South Bombay and next to Marine Drive and all, which was very famous. So yeah, he was always known for that. So I'm not surprised. That's a very interesting tidbit you pointed out there about him being big on LinkedIn, because he is a success story in every sense of the word.
Right. How is Mohra, your memories of Mohra?
Oh yeah, it was really one of my favorite films of the 90s, because before I got obsessed with Shah Rukh, and, you know, before I started watching all these romantic films and all, a lot of the other, I think Mohra was really one of my favorite non-Khan movies. And I didn't even know who Akshay Kumar was back then. I just enjoyed watching him in that film. I used to always mistake him for another actor. I don't remember who that actor is. But of course, Sunil Shetty was unmistakable. And what a soundtrack that film had. And just Nasiruddin Shah, that has also become a big part of meme culture today, you know, Mohra. And it's just acquired cult status among, I think, my generation also, late 30s and all, because I think we all talk of Mohra like it was the biggest film of its era. But when it did release, then I remember the music, the soundtrack being a big hit. And we all used to dance to it at New Year parties, especially to Cheese Buddy and Mast Masti. If we knew the lyrics, what the lyrics meant back then, I think this generation would cringe a lot. But I didn't really listen to lyrics, so we used to really enjoy, and I really enjoyed Nasiruddin Shah in that phase of his also. Like, doing a lot of these mainstream Bollywood films as either the villain or the father or something like that, and even in Chamatkar and a bunch of other films. And he was always on the sidelines in and always used to steal the film with the characters he played.
Right, and of course that Tip Tip Barsa Pani also. Oh, yeah. Like, Viju Shah, right? Viju Shah is the music.
Yeah.
Correct. Synth, the recent one. Okay, no, I think it's an iconic song. It's still just so well done. I just don't know, like, how that ideas came to them last, like, in the 90s. Yeah. And we don't have that, you know, we are just remaking these songs.
Yeah, that originality is gone. We keep doing the same thing again, like Tip Tip Barsa Pani. We keep making remixes of it as if, you know, we don't have an identity of our own anymore. And it's interesting how much of the 90s is being remade, not the 80s or 70s. So yeah, that says a lot about how many trends and themes broke out in the 90s and how probably relevant they might be for decades to come.
How about Trimurti?
Not a big fan of Trimurti. Even though it was a casting coup of sorts, I was very happy to see, you know, like, those three actors in the same, and of course three couples technically. I think the soundtrack again was a big deal. But I was fairly disappointed by the film, even as a child. Can you imagine? I was critical then, watching such a big superstar. Like, so I have not rewatched it since then. So I don't have many memories of that film.
Even I don't recall that film a lot. I just know Shah Rukh was there, and that song, yeah. Dunia Re Dunia, very good.
Right.
Jab Pyar Kisi Se Hota Hai.
Ah, that was a sweet film. I think Salman was going through a nice phase then. Yeah, the films that he was doing, that, then Pyar Kiya To Darna Kya, I think that was a nice little phase of his career before controversy started to hit, before, you know, he was being arrested for various reasons. I think that was a time he was trying to rival Shah Rukh as the reigning sort of romantic star. And I think Salman brought something very different to the table. You couldn't compare them, because he was, after Hum Aapke Kaun, he had become a bit of a chocolate boy himself. And same with Aamir also. So I think he was doing some very interesting films. And some of them were fairly progressive. Like, Jab Pyar Kisi Se Hota Hai also had something that a lot of other films wouldn't. You know, like a son from a previous affair. And I don't think these films, a lot of people knew how to take them, but I think they were packaged very well because of Salman being in them, because of a lot of top stars doing this film. So yeah, I actually enjoyed Pyar Kiya To Darna Kya more, because I found that meta casting of Salman and Abbas really funny in that, apart from the very iconic soundtrack. I just really enjoyed Salman playing a comedian or playing a goofball in these roles, like be it like Judwa, be it Pyar Kiya Toh Darna Kya. It was just very funny to see him play that hero who didn't take himself so seriously, and that's what he brought to the table. You know, Shah Rukh was always more of a romantic hero. Salman was a different kind of man you take home.
Do you think it was that Wanted film that changed him to be more of a lazy actor before that he acted?
Yeah, because Wanted started that action phase of his after his arrest, after a lot of the controversies. But I think Tere Naam really, you know, like inflated that entire tortured hero reputation, which he took forward and made it into an action hero in Wanted and Dabang and whatnot. Because Wanted and Dabang are like free of gray shades, free of anything like that, free of torture. He was an all-out action hero in most of them. I think Wanted was definitely that turning point. But I think Tere Naam was the iconic film that merged his off-screen reputation of being this bad boy and being this misunderstood, quote-unquote, misunderstood sort of lover because of what was going on with Aishwarya and because of, you know, him being in the Black Bug case and whatnot. And then merging it into this very toxic hero on screen. And I think that film would still work now. Like, imagine if Sandeep Reddy Vanga sort of remakes that film. It'd be a massive super hit, as it was back then. It was exactly that kind of stardom that we see in, say, Ranbir Kapoor today.
Right. Any other 90s Salman films you remember? Of performances or anything?
90s Salman films, apart from that, I have to check. Do you are there any that come to your mind, like top of your mind?
I'm just reading, like, there was Judwa.
Judwa was
good. Then there was Karan Arjun. With there. But of course, then there was the initial with Sajan, with again Madhuri and Sanjay Dutt. But then
the Bhansali films also, right? Like, where he's technically not the lead hero, and, you know, but he's always sort of the supporting character, like the very virtuous supporting character. So I actually liked him in, I quite liked him in Hum Dil De Chuke Sanam, because that was really marrying the kind of hero Salman was up to then to this love triangle template, which we hadn't seen before, and on a scale like that, I quite enjoyed his sort of his career choices that he was making back then. Because in the 90s, he also did a lot of rubbish, which I'm just seeing right now. In between all the films that we talk about, he did a lot of films beyond that. So that was nice to see him sort of do the Bhansali films, because I think that made him more of a slightly more serious actor. Even though I didn't really like him in Baghban and the very vanilla roles that he was doing. But yeah, as you said, I think Wanted was the turning point after Tere Naam came out, when I think he was in jail only.
Right. Okay. How was Khalnayak?
Yeah, Khalnayak was a film that really haunted me because, first of all, because of soundtrack, and secondly, because Sanjay Dutt was very much like Salman Khan was a decade later, you know, like a child of controversy, already in trouble by then. So he was technically a real life Khalnayak also. So and I always heard rumors about him and Madhuri Dixit. I think most of us grew up hearing that. So it was a very memorable film for various reasons, not just the cinema of it. I think it was a very, the soundtrack was great. And I think the songs were staged so well, especially the title track, and that checkered suit became very famous, the hat and the checkered suit, amongst a lot of the kids doing fancy dress competitions in the 90s across India. And I think that for me was one of my first times I saw Sanjay Dutt also. Because before, I hadn't watched the films he had done before that, I think Rocky or the films that made him famous. But I think Khalnayak was one of the first times I watched him. And I didn't know a lot of the off-screen drama. But and Madhuri Dixit was doing some very interesting films back then, like some very like troubled roles in a sense, like Tezab, Anjaam, and Khalnayak and whatnot. And I think Khalnayak was, again, a film I'll not forget anytime soon. I haven't watched it for a while. It's a good time to rewatch it, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, they're still remaking that song in Crew, Choli Ke
It's become a
Peeche.
big hit, you know, that song they
Yeah.
remade, and a lot of the people love it. And I guess it's great context because you're making a film about three women who are heiresses, and like it's great feminist context right now, but I'm not a big fan of the song on a purely technical sense, the way they've remade it, even though, you know, they've brought in the very like very relevant sort of Punjabi Diljit beats and all. But yeah, otherwise, like I'm not a big fan of remaking those classics. I just I when they said they were remaking it, I just hope that they would do it ironically, which they did. So I guess that we can take.
Right. Okay, my last two questions. Tell us about your favorite 90s Shah Rukh film and favorite 90s Aamir film.
Okay. Favorite 90s Shah Rukh, Kabhi Kabhi Na, still all-time favorite Shah Rukh. That I don't think will ever change. And favorite Aamir film of the 90s, I'd say Jo Jeeta Wohi Sikandar. Between Jo Jeeta Wohi Sikandar and I think obviously Rangeela I loved a lot, but I have a soft spot for Ghulam. Even though it was, I know it was a rip-off and whatnot, but I really like that film. I still rewatch it from time to time. I think Aamir did those roles better than most. I think Shah Rukh really failed miserably with Ram Jaane, but Aamir really managed to get that street slang right in both Rangeela and Ghulam, and I think Ghulam stayed with me longer. Even though Rangeela was a better film and Jo Jeeta was such a great film, I think for some reason I enjoyed Aamir's performance in Ghulam a lot more than his other films. Even though he did a bunch of better performances, I'd say. But yeah. But you know, like if you ask me, like if middle of the night wake up and say favorite Aamir from the 90s, it'd be Jo Jeeta Wohi Sikandar, just for the kind of ground it broke and just for the kind of the fact that we never really figured out how to make good sports films after that. You know, apart from Aamir doing Lagaan himself, I don't think we've ever figured out. And like the odd chakde here and there will come, but we've never figured. And you know, Maidaan released last week, so I know that we keep regurgitating those same tropes that we saw in the 90s.
Got it. Okay. I think we covered a lot of different things today. Thank you, Rahul. I think I learned a very interesting thing today about Karishma Kapoor that you mentioned. Thank you as always, and thank you everybody who's listening. We'll be back in a few weeks from now.
Yep, see you guys soon.